John, you're looking good out there. Not always, but today you do. Oh, man. He knows I'm kidding with him. How's everybody doing? Good. I hope you guys will come to this musical tonight. This is going to be so good. These kids have been working so hard. I will share with you a couple things. We've got a Christmas breakfast next week in between the two services. So it'll start at 10:15 a.m. in the foyer. You don't want to miss that. Also, Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is on Sunday this year, y'all. Okay, so we got Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock. And then we will have an 11 o'clock only Christmas Day service. Both of them will be about 40 minutes long, okay? And so I want you to just plan to have just a special time that weekend with the Lord and with your family. So we'll have a great time. You guys ready to draw tickets for a gift? Okay. All right. Well, every Sunday in December, we've been doing this for years, we give away a gift, and we're going to see who the gift goes to this year. I think some of the kids put in like 20 in their name so they can win. Let me get you to draw a ticket, okay? Why don't you draw a ticket and hand it to me? Okay, last four digits is 8402. 8402, anybody? 8402. That's okay. We'll draw again. 8402? No? Next ticket. We did this in the early service. Same thing. 8521. 8521. Anybody? Yes! Yes! All right. Come on up here, Shane. Shane, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. All right, so the deal is you got to open it. You got to come up and open it in front of everybody. And you can just rip it. Rip it open. So this is the more advanced Snuggie. It's taking the Snuggie to the next level. It's called the Huggle. So you are now huggable. Huggleable. Did you? So fun. All right. Y'all ready to get serious? Yeah. The kids run. Oh, we're going to get serious. We're going to get serious. Let's run. Right. Well, we're in a series this whole month. It's called A Weary World Rejoices. And so what we're doing is throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes these statements. And he'll say things like, I have come so that you may. Or he'll say, I have come to. Or he'll say, I come that you might have, right? And so what these are indicators of why Jesus came. He came for many reasons, not just to save us, but to do some things. And so these indicators, these statements that he makes, give us an understanding and some of the reasons on why Jesus was born, why he came. And they instruct us, they guide us, and they encourage us when life gets weary. And that's what I want us to do this whole week, this whole month, is to be encouraged by the birth of Jesus. How can you not? John 12:46, this was last week's message. Jesus says this, I have come, there's that statement again, into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So in today's message, Jesus says this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I think many of you are probably familiar with that passage. We're going to read this. Let's read it in its context, okay? It's in John chapter 10, if you want to turn with me. It'll also be up here on the screen. John chapter 10, verse 1. It says this, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber." Verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Verse 6, "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." Verse 7, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door.'" He says it again. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." I want to talk to you today about abundant life. Does that sound good? Abundant life. But before we jump into that, let's start with the question, what is the opposite of abundant life? What is the opposite of abundance? And I looked this up, and the perfect word came up to describe the other option. It was the word scarcity. Scarcity. The opposite of abundance is scarcity. And it was interesting because this word came up just the other week when Melanie and I were talking, because when we moved into our new house, we adopted cats. Okay, barn cats. And we didn't just, when I say we have an abundance of cats, when I say an abundance, I'm not talking about three, I'm talking about 15 to 20. Okay? And so some neighbors take care of a batch of them, another one takes care of another batch, and that's kind of how things are rolling out there. We're just trying to fit into this new system of life. Okay? So one of our neighbors to the left of us, they moved out, and when they were moving out, they called over to Kendall, who was out playing in the yard. "Hey, could you come over here? Listen, here's some cat food. Can you take care of all of our cats? We're not going to be around anymore." Gone. So Kendall comes in, and she's 10 years old. She's like, she's so excited. We got more cats. This is a true story. We got more cats. And I'm like, you are not feeding those cats. And so she listened to us. And after a few days, in the middle of the night, we hear this horrible cat fight on our back porch, just tearing things up. And we go and scare the stray cats away. And what it was is those cats are getting hungry, right? So they're coming over and they're attacking the cats on our porch. And so Melanie looks this up, and it says when cats experience scarcity, they get depressed, they get frustrated, and they get kind of vicious and they attack. Y'all following me on this one? We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere with this. And so so Melanie gave me a good sermon analogy with her her definition there. But so when it comes to life, you can have all the money and you can have all the resources in the world and still live in scarcity. Did you hear me? You can have all the money, you can have all the resources in the world, and you can still live in scarcity like the cats. Scarcity tends to frustrate and aggravate and depress. And here's why, because apart from Christ, life is scarcity. Apart from him, life is scarcity. It is an endless search to fill a void that you will never be able to fill without him. He is the only one that can fill the void. And he is the only one that can meet that need inside of you. Only him. Money? No. Vacations? More vacations? More material things? No. More entertainment? More stuff? You can try to take it and shove it into that void, and it'll never work. It can't fix the scarcity. Because the scarcity, it's a spiritual issue. And it's just like what we talked about last week, right? Last week, the verse was, Jesus says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And what he was doing is he was dealing with spiritual darkness. It was a spiritual issue. And he says, I've come to give you light in the darkness. And today he says, I've come to give you life abundantly. In Matthew, Jesus, he's driving home this point in the book of Matthew. And he says this. This is Matthew 13, 45 and 46. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven, this is what it's like in my kingdom, to be my kingdom people, this is what it's like. It's like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so what he's saying is this merchant, he's been searching and searching and searching, and what he's searching for is that thing, right? It's that thing. It's the pearl of great price. And you see, Jesus in that story, he is the pearl of great price. And he is the one you're searching for. You just don't even know it. Those who are far from him and who are out in the world searching, and they're getting all these material things and they're piling them into their lives, trying to find life out of all these lifeless things. What they're searching for is they're searching for true life that only Jesus can satisfy. Only he can bring it. And so we have to realize we're made for so much more than what we think. And the only life we can live apart from Christ is one of scarcity. The only thing we can do is search for something more and be on this desperate search and never find it. And so the world, here's what it offers. It all offers its own plan, right? And it offers its own pattern of living. This is why the Apostle Paul says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed, that's in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That word transformed, it's a Greek word, morphao. And morphao is where we get the word metamorphosis from, right? When a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. Okay, so think about this. When we think about this analogy of a caterpillar, that caterpillar was born to fly. That caterpillar is born to fly. Now, it doesn't know it. It's kind of crawling around on the ground. And just imagine if a bird sweeps down while it's a caterpillar, grabs it, and it dies, and it takes it off. It'll have never experienced flight, okay? Why? Because that bird came and snatched it away. It snatched out the possibility of it flying one day. That's what it did. So just imagine this butterfly, and there's a voice inside of it saying, fly, 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 okay? And there's this caterpillar, it has three options. One option is it can sink into despair and just go, it's all hopeless, I can't do it, I've been trying all my life, it's just hopeless. That's one option. The second option is to pretend like it's flying, right? And so here it is squirming across a branch of a tree, and it says, look, I'm flying, all right? So it can just act like it's flying, or it can call out to its creator and say, I just don't know how to do this. Help me, help me, help me. And so there are so many things that promise you life, and so many things that offer you life. All these advertisements are usually something that offers you life. And they promise all kinds of things, don't they? I mean, we've seen them. We've seen what the advertisers promise. They say, you can find life. All you have to do is be beautiful, right? And so if you just, how you become beautiful is you have to buy my makeup, of course. And then you got to buy the clothes that I show you, and that's how you become beautiful. And then another advertiser might say, well, all you need is a ticket to an island resort, and you can have everything that you're looking for is at this resort. All you have to do is buy a ticket. If you'll just buy from me and follow me, I will lead you there. I will lead you to what you're looking for. Just follow me, and I'll show you the good life. Just follow me. Just follow this pattern. Just follow these instructions, and I will lead you to the good life, the abundant life. But those promises, as you know, they fall short, and they leave us weary. They leave us weary. And our passage today is Jesus, he's once again dealing with the Pharisees. Okay, you can't really talk about the life of Jesus without talking about these Pharisees, because he's always contending with them and wrestling with them. And so they were these religious leaders. And here's the problem with these religious leaders during Jesus' day. They were steering people away from the truth. They were false teachers. They were false leaders presenting a false religion. They had taken Judaism, and they had tainted it so much and tampered with it so much that they presented this false religion. And Jesus, he calls them, because this religion, it doesn't just leave you empty. It's destructive. It destroys. And Jesus knows this. And he calls them thieves and robbers. Why? Because they claim to represent God, right? And they claim to represent all that he is, but they're stealing life away from people by presenting falseness and lies. And so Jesus, he's constantly just rebuking these religious leaders of his day. And watch what happens in verse 1. We're going to walk through what we had already read. Truly, truly, he says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a liar. And so, what is a sheepfold? Well, back in these days, in a small Jewish village, they would put these pens in the middle of the village, these sheepfolds. And so, during the day, all of the shepherds in the village would have their own flocks and take their sheep out into the fields for grazing and just be in the daytime they're out grazing. Then they would take these sheep and bring them back at night, and all of the shepherds in town would take their groups of sheep, their herds, and bring them into the sheepfold at nighttime for protection, right? And so when the shepherd goes to call out his sheep from the sheepfold, when he calls out, the sheep know his voice, and his sheep come to him, and he leads them out. Get the picture with that? Everybody have the picture of that? And so that was the place of protection, this sheepfold. So the sheepfold in this story is Israel. It's the Jewish people, okay? And the thieves and the robbers were these religious leaders that were constantly leading people astray, leading people into the lie. They didn't come. It says in the verse, it says, "He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way." So they didn't come through the entry door. They jumped over the gate, right? They jumped over the fence. That's what thieves and robbers do. They don't come in by the door, right? They break in, they climb in by a different way. And so these thieves and robbers, these religious leaders, these false shepherds are these thieves. And so in John chapter 10, verse 2, it says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." He who comes in the right way through the gate is the shepherd. He doesn't sneak in. Look at verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens. So there's a gatekeeper. The shepherd comes up, the right shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the door, right? And it says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. So the gatekeeper opens the door. The sheep hear his voice. He calls the sheep, and he leads them away. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. See, the true sheep, they'll identify the true shepherd, right? They will not follow the stranger. And look what it says in verse 6. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. And so what he's doing is he's taking this story, something that's real familiar like shepherding and sheep, and he's taking this and using it as an analogy for them, as a story to connect a powerful truth. And here's the deal. Even though he's referring to the Jews here, I believe he's also warning every believer in this room with this story. John verse 7, chapter 10, verse 7, says this. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. They were leading you astray, filled with lies, deceiving you, right? But the sheep did not listen to them. Why? Because they were the true sheep, and they know the true shepherd, right? Verse 9, I am the door. He repeats that again. In other words, I am the door. There's not multiple doors. He is the door. He is the only door, right? So he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's a lot here, but what he's saying is he is the door to eternal life. He is the door to eternal life. And when he says you will be saved and go in and out and find pasture, that means you will be safe. And you will find rest and security, and you will find peace, and you will find freedom. But here's the warning. Listen to the warning. Verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Amen? And so abundant life is eternal life. And it begins at the point of salvation. It involves your time here, your earth life, and it involves your eternal life, your afterlife. Abundant life starts at salvation. I'll give you an example. I've used this before, but one day I'm going to die, okay? Maybe Melanie will kill me, okay? Maybe something else, okay? Something's going to happen one day. And then there I will. I'll be laying there maybe on the ground, and someone will say, Scott's dead. But that's not when I died. I died at salvation. Because listen, I died to myself at salvation, and I put away my old life. And now I live for the glory of God. For the glory of God I live. And so that's when my new life began, and that's when abundant eternal life began, is at the point of salvation. And just a hiccup in the road is when I die of this earth one day, but I will continue on forever. This is where my eternal life began, my abundant life began, all right? Now listen, and we're going to get to this in a second, but if you're a Christian in here and you're scratching your head and you're wondering, what is this abundant life? I want to talk to you about that before we close out. But here's the deal. The child born in Bethlehem, he came that you may have abundant life. He came that you may have abundant life. This is not worldly riches. It's not popularity. It's not power. It's not material gain. That's not what this is about. This is about so much more than that. So much more than that. It's God doing exceedingly abundantly more than you could possibly ask for. You don't even know, right? You hope to know. You want more. You don't know how to achieve it. And you're like, I don't know when I get there. But this is about him doing exceedingly abundantly more than you could possibly ask according to his power at work in you, is the way Paul put it. So you might be following Christ today, and you might be saying, Scott, I'm not experiencing that. I'm not experiencing that. And I feel like very disconnected from this abundant life. And I come here every single week, and I hear these messages, and they're awesome. I come here every single week, I hear these messages, and I'm like, I'm starving. And listen, it's not so much feeling, it's about closeness. It's not about feeling, it's about closeness. It's very intentional. And what you're lacking, it's closeness with God. That's what you're lacking. And the closer you get, the more you experience the abundance. The further you get, the less you'll feel your experienced abundance. And you might be saying, man, I'm so far from experiencing that. What do I do? Well, listen, you can solve that problem today, right now. You can solve that problem right now. Here's a couple things I want to just share with you. Number one, you need a spiritual reset. You need a spiritual reset. That's what you need. And remember John 10:9, Jesus says, I am the door. What he's saying is, I'm it. I'm all you got. If you're going to fill that hole, fill that void, I'm the only one. I am the only door to get to that. I am it. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And it's not just he'll experience salvation. He'll experience life. He will go in and out and find pasture. You will find freedom. You will find freedom. He's your only source. He's your only door, your only way. And so you need to go back and you need to do a hard reset. And I know I share this quite a bit, but let me just share with you again how we hard reset. We go back and we explore these four things to be reminded of how to get started again, okay? Number one, confront sin, right? Trust me, there's sin involved, okay? Distance from God is sin. Why? Because you're turning to other things. You don't just walk away without turning to something else, right? And so to get close, you have to reset by confronting sin so you can turn back towards him, all right? So confront sin. How do you confront sin? You confess it. You just go, God, I'm one of your children. I blew it. I made a bad decision. I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against so-and-so, and I need your forgiveness. I pray for your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? So you're resetting by taking that sin, laying it in his hands. Scripture says he'll throw and cast that sin as far as the east is from the west. It's gone, and you can reset in that moment, all right? And then after that confronting sin, the next part is believing in the person and works of Christ, being reminded of all that this manger, right, represents. He was born to die. And he was born to die for you so that you can have life and have it abundantly. All right? And so believing in the person and works of Jesus, trusting in his promises, believing in him. The next part is trusting him as Lord and Savior, right? Keeping him above all things. So no other priorities take precedence, right? He goes on top, everything else aligns. When he's not on top, everything else is jumbled. Your priorities get off balance, okay? So he's Lord, He's Savior. He's the only one to rescue you from sin, all right? And then here's the last one. Receive his forgiveness, all right? He is faithful to forgive your sins. And so be understanding that he is faithful to forgive you so you don't have to live in guilt and condemnation. What draws you away from him is the burden of guilt and condemnation. How could I possibly go back to him? How could I possibly go back to him? That's called guilt and condemnation. If you follow this plan, you will turn your face back to him and you will make your way back. Now listen, here's the deal. This is about fellowship. So what I'm doing right now, I'm not just talking to a person who is lost, who has no relationship with God. I'm talking to believers too. And when you do this, you get a reset as a believer. When you do this as a lost person, you come to know Jesus for the first time in your life, right? But you're getting a reset. A reset for what? Watch. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your relationship with God is secure. It's done. You are a child of God. You used to be a creation of God, okay? You've shed that old life, and now you've stepped into a new life. You can't be uncreated. You are a new creation in Christ that cannot be taken away once you have done the work, once you have gone to him and you've trusted him as Lord and Savior, okay? Your relationship's secure. Your fellowship is not secure. Your fellowship is like this. Fellowship is closeness with God. And he is always there. He's like this, right? Ready to be close. He's not the one that moves away, okay? He is never the one that moves away. Fellowship is your responsibility. Fellowship is your responsibility. You do it and you're in his power by faith. You devote your heart, right? And you get close. You devote your heart. And by faith, you draw close. And when you feel powerless to do it, you're right. You are powerless to do it. You need his strength. And he'll show you how to have that close fellowship with him. So you have the reset. Here's number two. Sorry, my points are really dragging here. So number two is you need the mind of Christ. You need the mind of Christ. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. We talked about this just a few minutes ago. We don't conform to the molds and patterns and lifestyles of the world. We don't conform to that anymore. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to have the mind of Christ. Your mind is probably following thieves and robbers if you're distant from God. You got to stop listening to thieves and robbers. They'll steal your life away. They'll steal your life away. Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Something I've noticed that these thieves and robbers, they come in and they will empty life from you and they'll take truth from you and you'll be left with lies and a false sense of security and some kind of worldly thing. You have to reset and get strong in the Lord, and so you can resist the devil, you can resist the lies, you can resist the thieves and robbers. Because now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and you have a different mind. You have the mind of Christ. Well, how do you do that? Well, it's going to take devotion, and it's going to take faith, and it's going to take a pursuit. If you are not, look, Here's how you can just do a quick analysis if you really have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you desire to please him? Right? Do you agree with him? Right? Or do you just go, okay, his word, I guess some of it's true, but some of it's not, and some of it's this, and some of it's that. No. Do you agree with God? Do you desire to please God? Okay. Because if you have those two things, you will align your heart with him. And when he says hear, when he says step, you step. And so now it's a pursuit of him. And when you pursue him, you're going to take on the mind of Christ. And here's how you pursue him. All right? Real simple. Quiet time. It's a quiet time. You got to get, there's too much noise. Have y'all noticed this? Too much noise in this world. Too much noise flooding in. And most of that noise is trying to sell you on a different way of life. It's trying to sell you on a different lifestyle. It's trying to sell your children on that. And you got to shut the noise off to your kids, and you have to shut the noise off to you, and you got to get time with God. Get quiet with him, okay? Rest in him. You can't love God in a hurry. And you can't love God when you have all this stuff, noise coming in. You can't fellowship with him. You can't get close to him. You can get close to all the other things. And so quiet time with God. You can go on our website. There's a section on the homepage. It says foundations. There's some quiet time reading that you can do there. It'll help you get a good reset, and you can walk through some of those scripture passages. Come to me. I've got plenty of things that can help you with that. But prayer is a big part of it. We talk about this a lot. Much prayer, much dependency. Little prayer, little dependency. You want to live a life dependent on God. It's going to require prayer. It's going to require communicating with him. All right? Here's number three. This is the last one. You need the support of God's people. It's one thing I've learned in the past 4 or 5 years is you can't be a healthy Christian on an island. You can't be a healthy Christian on an island. You'll get weird. I mean, look at y'all. Look at some of y'all. No. you'll get weird. And I really mean that, okay? You need people to bounce these things and to help reconcile and help work out some of these things with your faith. But also you need people to encourage you, to build you up and not tear you down. The world will tear you down. The church builds you up, all right? And people are world weary because they're not in church with other believers. Can I get an amen? All right? And they're not in the God-centered environment to be built up. God's people is God's prescription to help you stay edified and built up in the Word. Amen. So don't miss that part. All right. Lastly, let me just say this. Last week, point number one was a weary world rejoices when it has light. This week, a weary world rejoices when it has life and life in Christ. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Are you hungry today for him? Let's pray. Father, we need your life. We know that in you is life. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, as we sing this last song, Father, may we sing it from our hearts. And I pray for each person to make way for the Lord, to make room in their hearts, to live a life that is pleasing to you, to get close to you so they can experience the life that you would have for them. We love you, Lord. We pray for each person here that they come to know our great and awesome God that gives life. In Christ's name, amen. Let's all